Hi, this is Hope Turner of Healthful Dog Radio, and I'm going to talk to you today about the comedic element of what I do, I guess you'd say, for a living. As you all know, I am a canine raw nutritionist, and I advise people on raw nutrition on a daily basis and how it can help with just general day-to-day health, and also how it can help with specific issues, specific health issues with your animal. As a canine raw food advocate and advisor, you'd hardly believe some of the questions and statements I hear. Most common of which, but are not limited to, how long does it take to cook? Well, it's raw. Hello. The concept behind raw feeding, of course, is back to nature. Feed only what is as close to what an animal would naturally get in the world. Therefore, regular questions about boiled potatoes, pasta and rice tend to baffle me. I have on many occasions been told that I'd be proud of someone with whom I've only just been introduced, as they raw feed. When I say how great that is and ask what they feed, I get told they don't have freezer space, but they buy packets of raw food that can be kept in the cupboard and proclaim with great joy what a great thing they're doing for their pet. Now I ask you, how many raw things do you think can be stored in a packet in the cupboard for months on end? Do they not notice the coloration differential between cooked meat and the raw meat that they get in the section at Tesco's? And can't they see the rice in there? Of course, there is the quite scary element of, oh yes, I buy raw bones from the pet shop or supermarket and the dog loves them. These are, in fact, often cooked and really quite dangerous to be giving to your beloved animal. Then there are the social media morons. The I'm new to this, but if I get pheasant, should I pluck the feathers? Or worse, the social media know-it-alls. No, no, it's easier to skin the pheasant first. Plucking takes too long. You get a similar thing with rabbits, with questions on, you know, how do you skin it? Have you ever seen a dog skin a rabbit? Because I haven't. Don't get me wrong, I understand naivety. At some point in life, we're all naive of some things. But there is a wish to learn, and then the others. The ones who can't be bothered to do any research, just keep asking questions on social media sites, but listen to anyone and everyone about anything, as if everyone is an expert. I understand one thing. Just because someone has done something for years does not in any way make them an expert. Lest we forget, experts built the Titanic. Some of the litany of things that boggle the mind that are expert opinions of what you should and shouldn't be feeding, and the passion, if not venom, in their ways that their way is right and any other is wrong, just beggars belief. You must not feed vegetables. They would not get them in the world. No, but they'd get the stomach contents of their kill, and their kill are generally herbivores and vegetarians. Or you must feed vegetables, but you must steam them first. Yeah, that's cooked, love. Oh, feed vegetables, but not fruit. I'm afraid I have no idea where the logic for that one came from. Oh, feed bones, but not weight-bearing bones. Right, because in the wild, wolves decide that legs are a no-no. I mean, this is just bizarre. Or the other one I loved, I feed the carb meal in the morning. And we're not talking about complex carbohydrates here. We are talking about simple carbohydrates, because this particular person quoted to me, but you must have meat and two veg. Carnivores don't have any need for simple carbs. In fact, simple carbs prevent digestion of the meat proteins that they do need. I have another one recently. I'm developing a vegan diet for dogs and cats. Well, that is a slow and painful way to kill your animal. Dogs and cats need amino acids that are present in large quantities in meat, and either in very small quantities or not digestible or not present at all in simply fruit and vegetables. And diets lacking in these vital nutrients have led to growth disorders, disease and death in other carnivorous pets. Thankfully, I am yet to hear of a fruitarian carnivore. All this reminds me of the first time someone sent the RSPCA around to my house. They had been called due to a complaint that I, quote, never walked the dogs and that I was feeding bones. At the time, I had my first ever litter of puppies, and the officer was welcomed in after having his hands and shoes sprayed with disinfectant because the pups were only 3.5 to 4 weeks old. Complaining that he had never heard of disinfecting hands and feet when entering a house with puppies, he walked past the stair banisters where the dog leads were hanging, and a number of photographs of my dogs running around through open fields, through to the whelping box and puppy playpen set up in the dining room. I explained that due to the risk of walking dogs and then possibly bringing some disease back into the house on their feet, which obviously could affect tiny puppies, I was not walking the dogs at present, which he said he didn't worry about, but he was most concerned over the feeding of bones. Now, I had just had a delivery of chicken wings, and therefore, when he asked what I fed the dogs, and I said raw food, he said, okay, fair enough, but what do you feed the puppies? So I threw a couple into the playpen, and a couple of puppies launched themselves at them and started chewing away merrily with the gorgeous little sound that puppies make. He was flabbergasted. I've never seen someone's chin hit the floor so fast. You didn't even cook it first, he declared, with a kind of look in his face that implied you'd just murdered someone. Have you ever seen a wolf with a kettle? I retorted. It's very sad that there are very many people that need to ask a lot of questions. I mean, there are a load of books out there. I do my best to educate people in every way. But yes, sometimes I can't help laughing at the questions that I am asked. Anyway, this has been Hope Turner for Healthful Dog Radio. Keep learning.